Okay, my presentation is on hospitalization for severe sepsis among elderly Medicare beneficiaries. And as I note here, I have no personal financial relationships to disclose. To get to the point, there have been many studies of sepsis, its high costs, its associated high mortality, and its epidemiology. In the course of these studies, many researchers have identified what has been called severe sepsis, that is, sepsis accompanied by organ dysfunction. It is generally associated with higher hospitalization and mortality rates than the average sepsis case, particularly among elderly people. And we are concerned about this because we'd like to know the difference between the severe sepsis cases in terms of cost and utilization and other factors such as comorbidities, and to look to see how much these severe sepsis cases have resource use and costs typical of chronically critically ill patients. That is, patients that have a number of comorbidities are expensive and are generally considered difficult to treat. And many researchers have been looking at chronically critically ill patients more often in ventilator care situations than in dealing with sepsis and organ dysfunction, but still we are dealing with patients that could be put in the same chronically critically ill bucket. And what we want to know here is, how do elderly patients with severe sepsis differ from other Medicare hospitalized sepsis patients? We used Medicare discharge data for calendar year 2010, and we found that of our sepsis patients, 68.9% were considered severe sepsis patients. We defined severe sepsis patients using the criteria presented in Lagu et al. 2012, which has a list of ICD-9 codes for defining sepsis and defining organ failure, and the methodology used has been often referred to as the Angus method. And for comorbidities, we use the following comorbidities: pneumonia, renal failure, diabetes, hypertension, stroke, COPD, and congestive heart failure. This is kind of a list that I've used in other studies, and some of these, as we will show, will relate to severe sepsis patients. Some will not. Okay, for the data, we have a graph of percent of severe sepsis hospitalization patients by age, and we find that while there is a low for 65 to 69 age group, it increases in the next age group, but gradually decreases slightly over to patients that are age 90 plus, and needless to say, most of the patients tend to be in the between 70 and 85. And severe hospitalization by sex. There seems to be general equality here between males and females. That is, 70% of male sepsis cases are severe sepsis, 67% of females. And by race, also a fairly equal distribution across, similar distributions across white, black, Hispanic, and other. And by comorbidity type, here is where we note some differences. First off, we note that while there are some pneumonia patients and more of them in the severe sepsis group, we note that 69.1% of severe sepsis patients have a comorbidity of renal failure. And this is markedly higher than the 9% for pneumonia, the 11% for diabetes, the 22.6% for hypertension, 7% for stroke, the 13.5% for COPD, and 11% for congestive heart failure. By number of comorbidities, non-severe sepsis patients are more likely to have none, but severe sepsis patients, 47%, 0.5% of them have one comorbidity. The groups tend to be equal for two comorbidities, and actually for three or more comorbidities, the non-severe sepsis patients tend to have more of those. But then one would have to understand that the non-severe sepsis patients are also pretty sick folks. And for the admission sources, primarily from the emergency room, about 54% for each type of sepsis. And there isn't that much of a difference here. Discharge destination. Severe sepsis patients are less likely to go home, kind of equally likely to be sent to a skilled nursing facility. We're dealing about 30% there. And the most striking is that 27.7% of severe sepsis patients died compared to 5% of non-severe sepsis patients. And the only thing else I note is are the higher percentage of severe sepsis patients going to LTACs and going to hospices. And here we have the length of stay here, which is 11.2 days for severe sepsis patients, 7.2 days for non-severe sepsis patients. And for costs, the average discharge for severe sepsis patients is $96,000 approximately. And for non-severe, $42,000. And we did some regressions to hold to constant the effects of quality on the incidence of severe sepsis. And the key number here, factor here, is the coefficient for severe sepsis, which is high, significant, and indicates that severe sepsis independently accounts for a lot of the difference in length of stay. And here we look at the effects of severity and other comorbidities on log total Medicare covered charges. And again, We have a substantial coefficient, very significant. And as we have indicated here, there are some comorbidities such as diabetes and hypertension and COPD that are less associated with the severe sepsis patients than one would expect. It's not that severe sepsis patients have more of all types of comorbidities. That is, here we have it pretty much sectioned out between pneumonia and renal failure on the other hand, and diabetes and hypertension on the other. And we had the same thing, same types of effects over in the previous regression on length of stay. And now to get to the summary, the average age of patients are similar. The length of stay and total covered charges are similar. And forgive the typo there. It's supposed to be 96,000 versus 41,600. And here we note the percentage of patients that were dying of severe sepsis, which means that mortality is much more severe for this group of patients. And it may be necessary to consider the effects of comorbidities along with diagnosis codes to efficiently target patients who are chronically critically ill. And the results of this study also suggests a narrowing of focus in that we seem to have isolated out a fair number of patients who have severe sepsis because they have chronic renal disease. And we know that these patients are difficult to treat in various in inpatient and in post-acute settings. And we know that they are costly. So here we can drill down to see if there are any specific red flags or differences that we can find by closer examination of this group of patients. Thank you.
Thank you. We have time for one clarifying question for Dr. Busco.
Yeah. Questions?
Yes.
Yes. They are defined as having a, this is a claims-based study, and we define severe sepsis as having an appropriate diagnosis code for sepsis and a code indicating organ failure. Yeah.
Are you also looking at patient care managers that have a new role that's in hospitals now, and they look at bullies every day?
It would be interesting to see in our next step, in any next steps, how case managers could deal with these people and. Basically, what type of care strategies could evolve? But then, it's probably not something I'm going to do because basically, the study was a claims-based study.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Dr. Michelle Clough.